Hello, I'm Jen Taylor, host of the Design Your Wedding Business podcast. I am letting you know that I have created a great quiz that will help you figure out which of the eight CEOs you need to be working on and the tasks that would benefit you the most. I hope you hop down to the show notes, click the link, and take the quiz. I promise it's a quick 2-minute quiz, and I can't wait to see what your feedback is. Thank you. Hey, I'm Jen Taylor, and you're listening to Design Your Wedding Business. As a wedding business coach, I've made it my mission to help creative entrepreneurs build streamlined workflows, processes, and procedures so they can grow their business and spend time on what they love the most, their craft, their family, and their lives. I understand how you feel, and I know it may not be fun to put in the work to build a well-oiled machine, but luckily for you, that's what I love to do. On this podcast, I'm teaching you how to take the stress and chaos out of your business, remove the guesswork, and discover a clear, profitable path to sustainable growth. Let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Design Your Wedding Business podcast. In today's episode, this is a series of talks that I'm having. So during the off season, when I had a team at Tailored Events, we would reach out to our top wedding pros and ask for some time with them and do this exact thing. It helped us better serve our clients and have a better relationship with our wedding professionals. As a wedding planner, I connect with the most wedding professionals in every wedding I do. Each week for this series is connecting with one wedding professional and walking through how we as wedding planners can better educate ourselves and our clients. So today we are talking wedding hair and makeup. Ann Timms has been working as a makeup artist for over 20 years, and she absolutely loves what she does. Ann started down this path behind the makeup counter at Nordstrom's in Seattle, Washington, with Lancome, just as a part-time job while she was attending UW working on her pre-law requisites. 4 years later, she traded the idea of law school for MAC Cosmetics and spent the next 10 years moving all over the country to some of the best cities, including Boston, Phoenix, San Francisco, and Las Vegas. She feels that geographical experience made her a better artist to help her clients. She can work on anyone. She arrived back in Seattle. She worked with NARS Cosmetics until deciding to build her own bridal styling company and hasn't looked back. She likes to describe her style as Northwest red carpet, a perfect vision of yourself with a little pop. Her style of makeup is both camera ready, but looks like you in person, just a little bit better. She specializes in weddings, event elopements, and lifestyle commercial work, but is happy to style you for a fun event or party as well. She's a proud mama of a son, obsessed with her 3 Boston Terriers, and so are her Instagram followers. She loves to cook and will often find her soaking up the suns in Arizona visiting her mom or on the ski slopes in the winter. Welcome, Ann Timms. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so excited that we get to talk hair and makeup and being in the industry together and all of that.
Thanks for having me, Jen. It's always a treat to hang out with you.
So, as I breathe in differently, what changes have you seen in the wedding industry?
As you know, I have transitioned my career to mostly specializing in adventure elopement. And I think that also shows up a lot in traditional weddings as well. I feel like there's been a big change to experience-based celebrations as opposed to a cookie cutter sort of, you know, you need to do this, you have to do that, you know, you do this by this time and that. I think that there's a lot of personalization that is now, and gosh, what is the word for it? Intention that is very much designed into a couple's wedding day. So that's the biggest shift I want to say that I've personally seen, from anything to the couple spending the night together the night of their wedding, to not having bridal parties, but having special guests, you know, to walk with them, but not giving them the labels of bridesmaids, maids of honor, things like that. I've seen a lot of those, a lot of that uniqueness happening over the last probably 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what about like makeup trends? What have you seen?
Makeup trends? Oh my gosh. Sophia Richie, basically. From when I start, oh my gosh. Well, I've done makeup almost 30 years now for a very long time. So I've seen a lot of trends come and go. But I will say, you know, a lot of these trends come back to what we went through in 2020 during the pandemic. There was a lot of makeup that was worn up until then. And then as a world and as people who wore makeup, we took a big pause and then we were wearing masks. We weren't in public. We were at home in like our Lululemon or whatever brand you wear. So the makeup shifted for wedding makeup. You still see people with like really full face, really very glamorous makeup, which is great. I love that too. But I think the best example is Sophia Richie. When she got married, her look broke the internet. And that is really what we see. Fresh, clean, glowy, pretty. I think that's just like the biggest trend. It just goes back to people wanting to have that individuality and feel and look like themselves in every aspect of their wedding.
Yeah, they do. So this question will be in two different forms.
Okay.
What is your typical day in general? And then what is your typical day when you are actually doing either a regular wedding or an elopement wedding? What are those 2 days look like for you?
Well, my regular day, when I'm not actively styling, I generally wake up. And personally, I have 3 little dogs. It's like having toddlers. So I have to take care of them. And then I take care of myself. So I have coffee, hit the gym, get back home. And that's when I really start my day. And I feel like that's been a big important change for me, is to carve out your personal time first before you give yourself to your business. So then I sit down and I go through emails. I usually will have this time of year, it's like a very heavy inquiry time. So I usually have a lot of inquiries, a lot of questions I'm going back and forth on, sending out timelines, schedules, contracts, all of that sort of back end busy stuff. And then, of course, I'm on looking on reels, you know, looking at makeup stuff, book stuff, you name it. As we do, we have to stay motivated. I cook a lot. I hang out with friends. So I don't know. I feel like my regular life is a good balance of work and play.
Yes.
Yeah. And I ski a lot. I'm skiing often this time of year. So who knows?
Right now we're recording this in January. So yes, it's for
it's early season. But on a work day, you know, the first things are the same. I get up, I take care of my pups, I take care of myself, and then I make sure that my gear is loaded into my car. I have all of the final details from where I'm going. If I'm going to the mountains for an elopement, I check the roads. I check to make sure that there's no, like in the summertime, we have fires, we have mudslides. If I'm doing a wedding, a proper traditional wedding in downtown Seattle, for example, I want to make sure that there's no protests going on or, well, it's true, construction. Well, city. Make sure there's no last minute changes. Communicate with the planner. Are they still in the same room? That kind of thing. And just make sure I got myself ready to go. Snacks, water, timeline. I've communicated with my team. If they're coming with me, we're coordinating where to park. And then we just bring everything and show up and it's go time. And we have a very specific dialed-in schedule of when we're doing each service. And we just try to make sure we knock that out on time and have fun with it. So what if I crash?
Yeah. And then what is the elopement? Because I mean, because you travel. So
I travel a lot.
You know, Anne goes to Iceland and she goes all around the Pacific Northwest and down to California. Where else have you gotten? You've gone to Mexico.
I've been to New Zealand.
So yeah. what are those days, or, you know, what does that look like? Because I know you throw some fun in there because you're going there.
Yeah.
So, but what does that kind of look?
Well, what does that look like? So that takes, you know, a lot of obviously back end planning where I get all of my logistics all dialed in, like where I'm going to stay, where I'm going to rent my car. So, for example, I'm going back to Iceland this upcoming June. I usually, for some reason, we go in June because the sun never sets. So we have all the time in the world to get someone married. Yeah, it's nice. So, for example, I get up early, get to the airport. I usually go in a day or two early just to make sure, you know, I'm going to a foreign country. I want to make sure I clear customs. I want to make sure that any little logistics that or little hiccups that could happen, I can avoid that, or I have time to deal with it. One time I went to Iceland and I got there and my hairspray I brought with me completely like drained out over on the flight. So I had time to go and source more before I had to make the 4-hour drive out to the Black Sand Coast. But usually I'm getting there a couple days early. Usually I'm going to some spa. Yeah. You can't go to Iceland without going to like some thermal pools. But I'm spending time and enjoying some of the culture and the food. I mean, I don't have to take these trips and I could stay close to home and work plenty, but I do enjoy them. So I always like to add some fun to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen your makeup case. So what if
you
bring, I mean, it's literally a small, you know. So when you're doing the travel, I know like for me, when I'm doing my emergency kit here for the States, you know, if I'm driving in locally, I'm bringing my own emergency kit with me. But if I'm traveling to Maui or to, you know, somewhere else, I'm bringing a smaller kit. What about, how does your kit expand and shrink?
Yes.
Events?
That's a great question. So with all of my clients who book me for elopements, whether it's here in the North Cascades on Rainier or in Iceland, I always do pre-planning Zoom calls with them. So I actually get to see what they look like live-ish in person. So that gives me a really good idea and ability to edit my kit down to something that is specific for that. Because generally on the bigger Iceland trips or like New Zealand, I'm only working with just the bride. Every now and then there's like a couple more people. And then I do ask like the range of like their skin tones only because, you know, I do have to be limited with what I can bring. I can't carry, when I'm here in a hotel, I have four bags and a chair and lights that go with me. That's not going on Iceland Air. It's just not happening. So I bring a very condensed makeup kit. I airbrush my clients. That's really small and easy to travel with. Just doing a lot of pre-planning. So I'm able to create a very small kit that I can carry on. Carry on is extraordinarily important when you are traveling abroad to style because baggage gets lost. Countries go on strike like crazy. Baggage companies like in the UK, they go on strike. It's not fun. So I always keep it with me. I keep travel size hairspray. And then I usually gift like all the hairspray stuff to the client because it's just one less thing for me to travel back with.
Take it all.
Yeah, take it all. It's all for you.
Put it on the way home.
And I have a nice mirror, that a light that I travel with that fits in my carry-on. So I always want to have lighting. That if I had to choose between, you know, a chair and lighting, I'm always going to take lighting. Lighting is so important. But yeah, it's just really pre-planning and making sure that I have something that I can carry on with me.
Okay. So what's different when a planner reaches out to you when we have a client that we want to have work with you versus just somebody, you know, seeing your work and, you know, a client saying, hey, our potential client saying, hey, I want to work with you versus a planner saying, hey, I really want, you know, like I've done, hey, meet us at so-and-so. I want you to meet this client. What does that look like?
That is so fun that you've asked this question because it's something I often think about a lot. And I will say that based on that, you and I have worked together for a very long time. You were one of the first planners that I ever worked with when I started working in the wedding industry. You know me well, and you know me personally well. So I feel like when you bring a client to the table for me, that it is generally a really good fit for me. But that is just not always the case that, you know, and I have the most respect for planners wanting to have like the best vendors on their team, but not everybody is always the best fit. And I'm not, you know, clients always not always the best fit for me and so on and so forth. So my favorite is when clients find me on their own and they've been following my work. And what I always hope with how I post in my socials and how I put myself out there personally is they're going to have a connection with that. And someone's going to be like, that's who I want as my stylist. I loved her work, but I love her energy. And then that's who I want to work with. And you don't necessarily always get that with all the planners because, you know, it's fair. You know, it's they're juggling a bunch of clients and just trying to get good vendors put in there. So it's that, I think that's the biggest difference. Organically is always the best. And I'm always grateful for work that gets sent my way, but it's not always a great match.
So with that, what would you like a planner to know that they could pass on to their clients? What are some things that, you know, like I could use me as an example. What are some things that I don't tell you or I don't know to tell you that you really wish that I would tell you?
I think planners need to spend a little more time really understanding and the relationship with, like, say, makeup artists, for example, like, say they have their five makeup artists, like, spend some time with each one of those five makeup artists and not just over wine and hanging out and having a fun social time, which is always great too, but get to know what drives them as an artist, what they really like as an artist. I've had planners send me so many older clients because I'm not 20, but at the end of the day, like, it might not be like the best match for me. It's just like, well, Anne can have them because Anne's not 20.
They're old.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not how we do this. Yeah. The average age of my client is like 28, 35. So, which is great. I love it. But I would say, like, really understanding what drives that artist and what they're really good at. And I think that encouraging your clients to really look at portfolios versus price.
Yes.
And find out what they are drawn to, what speaks to them, is just going to make such an incredible experience for them, hands down.
So where would you do that? Would you do that via, you know, like, would you say, go look at the latest fashion magazines, go look at, you know, Google makeup artists in my area? I mean, as a planner, what would I tell my clients to go look at to see what their, you know, makeup profile or their, you know, what their desire for their look to be?
Well, I have a questionnaire that goes out to all of my clients that I created that basically is like, it's a very like high level, like 5 different styles of makeup. Pick one. Which one speaks to you? And one is like every, like your daily makeup and your comfort. Like, I think there's ways that you can do it. I think that it's great that planners do have a little clutch of people that they like to work with. But I think what they really need to be presented is they need to pull, if you're doing full planning for a client, you're going to want to pull some of that info out of your client. Like, are you a full glam person? Are you a more natural person? Do you like a natural glow? Great. Your natural glow. These 3 artists I work with, this is what they specialize in. I want you to look at their portfolios and reach out to the one that you like. Or if I'm reaching out on your behalf, tell me which one to reach out to. Because I think there's definitely some homework that needs to be done. It's not like what we do as bridal stylists is not a salon service. There's a relationship. There's time spent together. It's more than that.
You mean we're not just going to the MAC counter and just saying,
yeah, well, you're not going to the Sephora counter. You're not getting a blowout at the blow up bar. No disrespect. You know what? Some people just don't even care. Like, that's perfect for them.
And yeah, I mean, I got married. It'll be 20 years this year.
Yeah.
And my makeup person is completely different than what I would have chosen, you
for
know,
sure.
If I get married again, you know, tomorrow. It's a completely different look because I'm completely different. So.
Yes.
And as having a planner for my wedding, she really drove the bus on some of those things that I didn't care about.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I wasn't a full glam, but I wasn't, you know, I'm not where I am now, where I wear makeup very minimal versus
for sure.
20 years ago when I was going to an office and working at a job, you know. Now I'm like, oh, I'm in the same clothes I wore yesterday. Great.
Yeah. Like, you're like, it's working for me.
I'm good. That I get a facial. Yes. My skin looks good. Great. I'm good.
Yeah.
So when a planner is involved, what does the wedding day look like?
Well, I'm very organized. And I would say the planners that I tend to work with here in the Northwest, they are generally very on top of their game. They, for the most part, are pretty hands off my wheel when it comes to how I design my timeline. So what it generally looks like is weeks ahead of time, I've submitted the timeline and then I show up and the planners will pop in at some point to say hi if they're on the same property. But that, I mean, that's really, I don't interact too much.
Even if they're not, I still try to pop in.
Yeah, no, you're great about that. You're definitely great. You always I think you're fantastic about making sure that my favorite planners are the ones that take exceptional care of their clients, but also really support the vendor team. And that is huge. That is huge. And there needs to be more of that. So let's just say that.
Well, and you know, and so, yeah. So what I normally do with Anne or with any of my makeup artists is, you know, it depends on where we're at. It's like, there's been times where all of a sudden, you know, it was a private resident wedding and everybody was going to get ready at the house. Well, the stepmother of the bride didn't want to get ready that early. So then she's like, I don't want to get ready this early. So then I had to go to the house, get everybody up saying, guess what? You're first. Because your stepmother is a little, you know.
Yeah, a little extra.
A little extra. And so, you know, where as a planner, you talk about this, you do all this, you let everybody know, and then you get the, oh, I don't want to do this. And then, of course, this was the same wedding that the best friend of the mother of the bride wanted a hair crimper.
Oh, yeah.
And so, luckily, we knew this before the makeup artist came, because we were on an island, to the island. And we're like, hey, do you have like a 1980s hair crimper? She's like, I do. I'm like, well, then bring it because
we're going to need it. You know, those are common now.
Because the best friend forgot to bring hers. So,
oh my gosh.
it's really trying to, and what I try to do and what I try to impart when I taught planning and all this is everybody has their own timeline. So when I create the timeline, I create it in sections and then let the wedding professionals take a look at it and tell me if I'm right or not and go from there, like knowing what the hours are, knowing what they're doing, all of that, I can go and expand and contract and then say, go look at it. And then you guys have the final say up to a certain point. You know, if you're telling me this the day before, I'm like, sorry, you know, I can't change this. And I've had a photographer try. I'm like, nope, you approve this. What's going to happen? Sorry. Like, unless the ceremony lasts 20 hours long and something goes wrong, which has happened, then the timeline's set until the ceremony is over. And then it becomes a party. So, you know, when I work with my hair and makeup people is really going, okay, here's when the photographer is going to be here. When do you need to start? And knowing if the bride wants any photos of her getting ready and things like that, then I can say, okay, here's when go time is. When do you need to be here?
Which is perfect because when I write my styling timelines, I always tell my clients, there's just like three things I need to know. I need to know when your planner or photographer expects you to be in your dress. I need to know when all your bridesmaids need to be either ready for robe photos, the, you know, bridal party getting ready photos. And then I need to know when you all need to be out the door. Those are the most important things. And when I say all, everybody needs to be out the door, I need to know like extended family members. Yeah. Mom, here's the trick. Here's the thing about mom. And I always will try to do mom early because mom is often part of that getting ready photo with putting the, you know, buttoning dress up or all of that. And I think it's super important that a mother is fully styled for that moment because nothing is going to break her heart more. And I've seen this happen when she looks back and she's in curlers or PJs or, and her daughter is this glorious vision. You know, she went, you want to frame that picture. It's such a special moment. So I think it's really important. It's exactly what you're saying. I basically, those are the questions that you need to know. And that's the timeline I write as well. And then I back it up from there.
And that, you know,
that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. I mean, it's writing a timeline is not hard. And
no, it's not too bad.
And it somehow creates us a lot of issues with other people. And I'm like, you're telling me, I'm not dictating anything. Here's a ceremony start time. And here's when we need to be done.
I think also, though, I was just online with a photographer the other day who was like posted some meme about the first look. And she's like, how much time do you think it'll be for the first look? She's like, 5 minutes. And I thought it's true. First look does not take that long. People will put an hour into their, you know, their model's time for a first look. I'm like, you're going to be so bored. I'm like, you don't need that. You need like, give yourself maybe if you really want a half hour to get the giggles out and get the nerves out, but you don't need more.
No, 15. Yeah. 15, 20
exactly.
minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. 2 hour first look.
And then they take them away for, you know, for an hour afterwards. I'm like, no,
yeah,
I need,
you need to go. You got stuff to do.
Do you do a lot of sticking around? I know you've done this with a few of my clients where you've stuck around and changed the look. How much is that still happening? Or is that kind of hopefully gone away and slowly changed? Or is that still like a thing to change clothes, change a dress, put on, you know, new hairstyle, all of that?
So I will say that's pretty much just gone away. People are not doing a full change with the exception of almost always my New Year's Eve-ish clients whenever they fall around, you know, we have New Year's Eve. Those are just big fun celebrations. So yeah, just did one for someone that you know. I did her New Year's Eve-ish wedding.
So that's not happening unless it's a like big.
Yeah, it's not happening. It's definitely not happening in the traditional wedding world. It's, you know, if anything, if it's a big like party wedding, I've seen many brides change into a different dress, but they don't change hair and they don't change makeup. That's, yeah, no.
I don't think we've ever had makeup change, but we've had hair changes before.
Yeah, which is, you know, fine. It's just it's a quite an additional expense to think about keeping a makeup artist on site all day long. I charge $250 an hour after they're out the door. If you're asking me to be on site for the rest of the day, that's what you can expect to pay. And it's honestly just because I don't want to.
That's the resentment thoughts.
I want to go home.
Then I can go do another trip somewhere, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go home. But in my elopement world, it is becoming more common only because as our national parks and trails are becoming more crowded in the summertime, a lot of my clients are doing sunrise elopements. So I style them at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then they do private vows and they do all these beautiful photos. And then they have an afternoon ceremony with family. So they go home and take a nap. So then I'm doing a second styling.
That you can praise in there. So,
oh yeah, it all works out. It's very popular.
I don't want to go on like any horror stories, but I don't want to go into horror stories. It's not that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I don't really have any.
So is there anything else you would want a planner to know about working with a hair and makeup artist?
Oh gosh. I think that you need to understand and respect their process. I think you really need to, if you're working with a new makeup person that you haven't worked with before, maybe set some time aside. If you see that, you know, that your client has hired them, I think it's good for you to honestly have a conversation and talk with them about their process. You know, makeup artists, stylists get a bad rep for running late and running over. And I think a lot of that could go away if there's just more communication on realistic timelines.
Yeah.
I'm a fast stylist. I've done this for a long time. So I don't run over. I'm really good at managing my time. But, you know, some people just aren't fast, and that's okay. You know, everybody takes the amount of time that they need to do their craft. I think that is something that can make that whole process for everybody a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the final question is, what is your best piece of mindset advice? I ask this of all of my guests.
You're going to hate me.
What?
Just elope.
Just elope.
You know what? They need lots of planners and elopements, so that's all I'm saying.
It's true. It's true. I mean, it's a thought. So, well, how about for work? What's a good mindset advice for work? Not necessarily for what you and I would do if we got married.
Right. Exactly. I think the biggest mindset is that you have to let go of some things. You can't get too stressed out over the details, or, you know, if you're working with other vendors and sometimes people can be a little short, or, you know, everybody's trying to protect their business and trying to protect their timelines. And I think that we all have to understand that we need to give each other a little bit of grace and understanding and let things just roll sometimes.
Very good. Thank you for being on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jen. Of course. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Design Your Wedding Business. If you love what you're learning each week, please let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And while you're there, don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on any new episodes. As always, you can head over to my website, JenTaylorConsulting.com, to check out all the links and resources from this episode in the show notes. I'll talk to you all next week.